Welcome to the News Hound Situation Report. This is Member True American reporting to you again on the 23rd of February, 2008. My first report concerns a new Japanese high-speed internet satellite. They have launched a high-speed internet satellite, which apparently will be the fastest in the world, according to reports from the China Post. The satellite, costing about $342 million, will allow super high-speed data communications of up to 1.2 gigabits per second, which would make it the fastest in the world, so the agency says. Japan is looking to use the satellite to allow communications when a ground-based network is severed by a disaster in any Asian country, in which case it would be used to transmit data to crisis management offices. Anybody putting two and two together here? Satellite, high-speed internet, crisis management offices? More news on Iran. The International Atomic Energy Agency has now come out with a new report. IAEA.org is the source of this report. And the Director General, Mohammad El-Abadi, said in his report, and this is very recent, published the 23rd of February, 2008. The most important thing, I think, that has been said is that he says, "I should, however, add that in connection with the weaponization studies, we have not seen any indication that these studies were linked to nuclear material. So that gives us some satisfaction. But the issue is still critical for us to be able to come to a determination as to the nature of Iran's nuclear program." So, what does that mean? We have the recent national intelligence estimate that produced with moderate to high confidence that the Iranian nuclear weapons program was shut down in 2003. We have now got this report from the International Atomic Energy Agency itself that says that there is no indication that Iran's weaponization studies had anything to do with nuclear material. Now, in contrast to that, we have Israel saying that Iran can develop a nuclear bomb within 3 years. We've got other people saying that this new report from the IAEA is just further indication that Iran does have intent to produce nuclear weapons. And I am just trying to point out the opposing views here of what is real and what is manufactured evidence. We've got the Bush administration on a warpath to Iran. Why? Why? We've got two extremely credible agencies telling us that Iran has not only stopped their weaponization program, but now the IAEA is saying there's no connection. So what is all this rhetoric, people? Who are we to believe? If you want to believe the Bush administration that Iran is such a huge threat, and Israel that is saying that Iran's going to develop a nuclear weapon in 3 years, and they're all worried, and you know Iran's going to nuke Israel. I mean, come on. This is rhetoric. The point of this story is to illustrate that the Bush administration is, just like before Iraq, attempting to have the mainstream public, through mainstream media sources, believe that Iran is a huge enemy, you know, that they need to be attacked, and all this. It's bullcrap. In other news, the defense minister of Taiwan has now resigned, and his resignation was accepted by the cabinet over a weapons scandal. This was called Taiwan Goal. This was a company that the defense minister had set up with approximately a 45% share of the company. The company had a $31.8 million investment. This company was set up to accelerate weaponry imports that might otherwise be stalled by political means and fears of upsetting China. Now, curious to me, why is it, if somebody can explain to me, that the Bush administration and the United States, among others, will not recognize Taiwan's independence but yet will set up covert deals and stuff behind the scenes to arm Taiwan to the teeth in opposition to China. Recently, Taiwan's Democratic Party that was in control with Chen was outed, and now there is a more pro-Beijing government in Taiwan. And I just have to ask again, why is that this two-faced front where we're arming Taiwan to the teeth, and yet we won't recognize Taiwan's independence? What is up with this two-faced strategy? In another report, this comes to us from WorldNet Daily. Two more Iraqis with false Bulgarian passports were detained by Mexican officials in Monterrey, bringing the total to four this month. Recently, we had a very bizarre incident on ATS where a supposed military plane, which really turned out to be more of a civilian plane, actually landed in a weird spot. The plane had these military markings on it, but Iraqi military markings on it. Some of the fuselage was covered up with weird foil and stuff. And when people went to ask what this was about, they were told that the information was classified and that it was a military operation. So I'm just wondering what the heck is going on here. We've got Iraqi military Cessnas that are covered up in foil flying from Tampa to Miami. Whoa. What is that about? And now we've got four Iraqis with false Bulgarian passports being held up, saying that, you know, confessing that they were intending to go to the United States. I don't know what the heck's going on, but again, is this our wonderful CIA at work in some kind of crazy covert operation? We've got the situation with the B-2 bomber that was loaded with nuclear weapons back in August. I mean, what is all this crap going on? My God. In other news, to update the situation on the border fence that is to be built and is being built slowly but surely between Mexico and the United States to help combat illegal immigration, a new virtual fence has now been approved by the Department of Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff. This virtual fence apparently has been pretty effective. As an example, the Border Patrol caught 38 of 100 people who tried to cross illegally with this. And so far, about 302 miles of fencing has been constructed along the border. So slowly but surely, they are cutting off the path of illegal aliens into this country, which in my mind is a good thing considering all of the problems that have been amassing since the illegal immigration issue has become such a huge national debate. In more news, the FBI apparently now wants to create a massive computer database of people's physical characteristics, all part of an effort, the Bureau says, to better identify criminals and terrorists. Yeah, right. Hello, Big Brother. It says they want to use eye scans combined with other data to help identify suspects. This includes tattoos, fingerprints, and just about anything else they can get their hands on. It has raised concern by the American Civil Liberties Union and several other organizations that are very concerned with people's privacy. They are looking to want palm prints, eye scans, and tattoo mapping. Great! They can track us anywhere. Isn't that wonderful? I should also point out that this article that I'm reading on CNN under the technology section also says, but in the future, all kinds of methods may be employed. Some researchers are looking at the way people walk as additional means of identification. The FBI says it will protect all this personal data and only collect information on criminals and those seeking sensitive jobs. Hello? Yeah, right. I suppose we're supposed to believe that after the warrantless wiretapping program? Give me a break. a quick blurb of political news on the Ron Paul campaign. The Ron Paul campaign is not going anywhere. Paul himself has said they had to sort of slow down a little bit because he's got a seat in the 14th Congressional District in Texas that is up for re-election, and he's having to concentrate somewhat on maintaining that seat. And I think that's a great strategy because, let's face it, if he loses the seat, he's not going to have the platform or as good a platform to work from if he's outed from that position. So while people have said, I've seen reports on the internet, Ron Paul's dead, or, you know, his campaign's dead, bull crap. His campaign ain't gone anywhere. If anything, it's gathered strength. So I'm saying this in order to put at ease people's minds who think that Ron Paul's campaign has died. It is nowhere close to that. It is not even an issue. Forget it. Ron Paul is going strong, and his grassroots support continues to gather steam like a freight train, especially now that all the other candidates are out, except for Huckabee and McCain. So just wanted to put that out there. Don't anybody lose faith. Ron Paul is as strong as ever, if not stronger. To touch on another bit of news, a former congressman interviewed by Alex Jones on his radio show has come out and said, much the same Willie Nelson has recently in another interview that Alex conducted with Willie Nelson. There was two of them. And both of them, the former congressman and Willie Nelson, believe that 911 was at least, if nothing else, assisted by the U.S. government and maybe actually perpetuated by the U.S. government. Now, of course, this is no news to any, 911 truther. We've been trying to figure out what in the heck happened on 911 for quite some time, and the continual stalling of these things by the government and their withholding of evidence and trashing of evidence is continues to make news to this day, and nobody seems to be giving up, which is a good thing, to try to figure out the truth behind 911. So more and more people are coming out, people in high places that are saying that, there was a lot of stuff wrong with 911. We need a new investigation. And so that's pretty much that. In other news, it was discovered that the Bush administration, under executive order of the president, established what's known as the National Security Presidential Directive 51. That's NSPD 51. I just put up an article about it in the Breaking Alternative News section. We're in trouble, folks. On February 14th, this comes to us from Infowars.com, Alex Jones' site. The U.S. Army North Headquarters and the North American Aerospace Defense Command and U.S. Northern Command and Canadian Air Force have now signed a new bilateral military plan under the North American Union blanket front. Now, what this means in a general sense, and I want to move quickly here, but basically, we've now got several acts that have not only abolished posse comitatus, which stems from a 1878 act, which reads, whoever, except in cases and under circumstances expressly authorized by the Constitution or Act of Congress, in other words, not the president, what the president says, what an Act of Congress says, willfully uses any part of the Army or Air Force as a posse comitatus or otherwise to execute, the laws shall be defined under this title or imprisoned not more than 2 years, or both. It's the only U.S. criminal statute that outlaws military operations directed against the American people under the cover of law enforcement. As such, it has been the best protection we've ever had against the power-hungry intentions of an unscrupulous and reckless executive intent on using force to enforce its will. This is big news. It deserves attention. Not only is NSPD 51 a huge threat because of the issue that there, this is a bill that outlines continuity of government in the event of a national disaster or terrorist attack, or really any situation that the president himself, in other words, it gives him the president himself the power to decide on any situation that happens in the United States to declare martial law and military rule over the otherwise free citizens of this country. This is disturbing, to say the very friggin' least. Why should a president have that kind of power? Why? We've got military bases and underground bunkers all over the United States and elsewhere that continuity of government could easily be achieved without the necessitation of putting all of this power in the hands of one man. What is this about, folks? Get off your butts and do something about it. Call your congressman, call your senator, email them. Let's bug these people to death until they get off their asses and stop this bullshit from happening. You know, no president should have this kind of power. And basically, you know, they're taking it. And now, you know, Canada signed up on plan. Yeah, great. Of course, I'm sure Mexico down there somewhere is just waiting in the wings, and that's to come soon, all under the auspices of the North American Union. Bullshit. I might also point out another story that relates to this, and that is some detainees at Guantanamo Bay that are going to be tried under the Military Commissions Act of 2006, and that whole mess. Another issue that you should really research if you don't know about it, and there's threads about it on ATS. In other news, Turkey has now sent up to 10,000 troops across the border into Iraq to combat a separatist Kurdish movement. And supposedly Turkey has, and apparently the United States is allowing this because, hey, one more thorn out of their side. This particular separatist movement has been designated as a terrorist organization. And you just have to wonder what in the heck is going on. In the meantime, we've got Russia threatening military intervention in Kosovo, who has declared independence from Serbia, and the things are getting pretty serious. Apparently, the Serbs have moved a bunch of tanks to the border, and there's big riot and protest in the streets over this, and Russia is in direct opposition, of course, to the United States, who is apparently backing the Kosovo independence declaration. And Serbia is just freaking, saying, no way, you know, that's illegal. Kosovo's been ours. It would be almost like an example if Texas declared independence from the rest of the United States. Now, in that case, would the rest of the United States stand up? Would there be riots in the street? Would China come in and say that we're going to threaten you militarily? Oh, boy. Just incredible news. Powder keg, powder keg, powder keg, waiting to explode. Lord only knows what's going to happen, but the situation is not good. In more news, we have a few articles here come to us from velvetrevolution.us. As it turns out, nearly 100,000 votes are going to be rejected. That is right, rejected by Los Angeles County in California, because it appears somebody designed a ballot for nonpartisan voters. These are voters that don't swing either way and are going to either vote independent, or they may vote for one of the other candidates, but they're not declaring their partisanship to either party. So what's happened here is that they've made a ballot where you have to fill out two boxes just to vote for one person. Stupid. So what's happened is 50% of the total DTS ballots cast, that means decline to state, DTS, are going to be rejected. That's about 94,000 votes rejected by Los Angeles County because of a ballot design flaw where the voting machine will not read the vote because somebody didn't fill in a little box at the top that stated that they were a DTS voter. So even though the voter designated clearly in the bubble which candidate they were voting for, the registrar in Los Angeles County, his name is Dean Logan, is refusing to count those votes, even though the voter intent was clearly to vote for a particular person. Now, this is just absolutely ridiculous. The article goes on to point out that in Florida, they amended their constitution so that this kind of thing could not happen. You can read the article over there at velvetrevolution.us. Some good guys over there. I've talked to Brent, I think, once or twice maybe about some other things, and I highly recommend you go check this article out. It's ridiculous. They've got a petition over at Velvet Revolution that you can sign to get them to count these votes. That's nearly, basically half of all votes that are DTS, declined to state, are not going to be counted. Crazy stuff. In another story from velvetrevolution.us, on the 20th of February, apparently Mayor Bloomberg in New York has stated that fraud was behind the unofficial results in the New York Democratic presidential primary. Apparently, in 78 out of more than about 6,000 election districts, Barack Obama received zero votes, which statistically is extremely, extremely unlikely. There's not a whole lot of information on this story other than basically Mayor Bloomberg's statement was, if you want to call it significant undercounting, I guess that's a euphemism for fraud, said the mayor. And Velvet Revolution points out that they've been calling undervoting fraud for almost 3 years, so it's nice to see a major politician doing the same. If you can dig around, I have a story, an election fraud story floating around ATS. I think it's in the Breaking Alternative News section. You just go back a few pages and you'll see it. But how can Obama not get, zero votes in 78 election districts? I mean, there's just no way. I mean, I want to vote for Ron Paul, but this is just ridiculous, you know. But Obama should have gotten more votes than that. So it's going to be curious to see what develops out of that story and how they're going to get their butts out of this one with no votes being received in 78 election districts. Think about that. Obama at the top of the heap right now and no votes in 78 districts. Pretty amazing. In another story, again at velvetrevolution.us, $3 million from the Republican National Committee buys silence and an acquittal. Now, this story is about, basically, there was some court cases involving James Tobin and another guy by the name of Alan Raymond. And I had seen some interviews here, and I highly recommend you guys go check these interviews out. This is an amazing interview. This guy Raymond has spent some time in prison, what basically ousted from the GOP because of some pretty nasty little things that he did while being a GOP operative. And he wrote a book called How to Rig an Election, Confessions of a GOP Operative. And I watched these interviews from Velvet Revolution, and I must say I was just stunned at some of the things that he said. First of all, he pointed out that politics is really big business. And, you know, most of us probably don't think of it that way, not on a day-to-day basis. You know, we think, you know, politics is just politics, you know, but it's a huge, huge money-making business. And this guy points that out, and just kind of a slap across the face to me. It's like, wow, you know, that's so true. You know, these people are paid, these people that get, you know, in these campaigns and campaign strategy and all these underhanded things that they do, they're paid to make their candidate win. And he points out another corollary to that, which is it's not a moral issue. You know, calling somebody up on the phone and doing nasty little tricks is not a moral issue to these guys. These guys separate morality of what's right and wrong from politics in their own minds. So for those of us looking in and seeing these nasty little tricks, you know, they don't give a damn. It's not about tricks or morality, or they don't care. They're going to go as far as the law allows and even break the law sometimes in trying to get votes and rigging elections. You know, when he says how to rig an election, it's not the immediate way you might think about going in and doing nasty things to a voting machine so that it'll miscount or, you know, increase the count like we saw in the 2004 Clinton Curtis testimony. This is a different sort of rigging. This is doing nasty things like setting up phone polling that will include or not include certain candidates purposefully. It'll do things like set up automatic calling stations that call and canvass with particulars that are pretty questionable, you know, voting districts and people and a whole host of other things. I mean, it's a great, you know, book if you want to get it. I haven't read it, I must admit, yet, but it's one of the things I want to do. Just really the story is that the Republican National Committee spent $3 million on legal fees for this guy, James Tobin, and basically the co-defendant in the case, Alan Raymond, just got pretty much put out. The interview again is on velvetrevolution.us. And you can go watch it there. And more news on Sybil Edmonds. The case of Sybil Edmonds is such a huge, incredibly tangled web that it really deserves not probably one, but about 20 million podcasts. I swear. This is incredible. Over at velvetrevolution.us, again, in a recent interview with Sybil and a blog, the Bush administration, White House, is now quietly moving to legalize the sale of nuclear technology to Turkey in an apparent attempt to exonerate neocon criminals who have been illegally selling this technology for a decade. Now, whoa. I started investigating some of the links that Velvet Revolution was providing us with, and Some interesting things came up here, and I started researching a little bit more, and I just got to say, this is such a huge case and so important that I seriously recommend all of you go and check out, for starters, the Wikipedia entry on Sybil Edmonds, S-I-B-E-L-E-D-M-O-N-D-S. This may be one of the most important whistleblower cases in all of U.S. history. And the reason I say that is because when you understand what's actually going on behind the scenes and what she is alleging, if you wonder how countries like North Korea and Turkey and Iran and Pakistan have gotten some of the nuclear technology they have, you figure, well, you know, our stuff is so secure that that could never happen. Well, think again. Apparently, she is uncovering an incredible web of black market nuclear technology that found its way into the hands of a Pakistani nuclear scientist known by the name of A.Q. Khan. That's K-H-A-N. This guy, apparently on the black market, has taken the secrets that as part of the Sybil Edmonds case, she's alleging that members of the State Department were actually being bribed. Mark Grossman is one of the people she is alleging has done this. Now, just as a quick summary, remember that the FBI conducted an internal investigation after Sybil Edmonds was fired, and found in their own internal investigation of her allegations that she was actually correct in calling into question many of the deals that she was witnessing on the phone as a Turkish translator between agents of Turkey, and not only Turkey, but Iranian and Israeli agents as well. And again, the dreaded Israel enters the picture once more. My God, what an incredible, incredible web of stuff this whole case is bringing about. If you want to uncover some really nasty stuff, start researching seriously Sybil Edmonds and listen to some of the allegations he's making and what's going on here. Again, back to this issue of the White House now trying to pass legislation that would allow them to sell nuclear secrets to Turkey, okay, when this whole time Turkish and Israeli agents have apparently infiltrated the United States government to the point where nuclear secrets are leaking out. And they're ending up in the hands of those very people that we are seeking to not have them. And you just got to wonder, you know, what the hell? You know, why? What in the hell is the CIA doing? Why are these people taking these bribes? I mean, you know, money's money, but Jesus, you know, one of these days, one of these countries is going to build a freaking nuclear weapon, and the next thing you know, New York City is going to be gone. And, you know, on one hand, we've got, you know, the Bush administration, you know, wanting to go to a war with Iran over their nuclear program, when on the other, the friggin' CIA itself and people in the State Department being bribed have given the damn secrets. Oh, Jesus. It just makes me sick, you know. You sit here and wonder why Alex Jones goes so incredibly crazy. I mean, he's packed full of so much of this stuff that at just some point, you know, I'm amazed the guy just doesn't blow up and explode like a nuclear bomb and take out all of friggin' Austin, Texas with him, with the stuff that he knows. But my God, anyway, just going to say again, go check out this whole Sybil Edmonds thing and start looking at some links, because it's a really, really big mess. And the implications of this are just incredible. You know, that our own people, we've heard these stories about, you know, under the Clinton administration, you know, China getting access to nuclear technology that was stolen and stuff. And they're hacking into the Pentagon's computers and the State Department's computers. And I mean, you know, this situation is just going from bad to worse. But anyway, just wanted to mention that story. Again, velvetrevolution.us is sort of the place that I'm getting these reports from, and highly recommend you check it out. So that's pretty much it for this version of the New Sound Situation Report number 2, dated the 23rd of February, 2008. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.